All right. Good morning, everyone. I am Krista, compulsive overeater, and really grateful to be here today. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I have a couple of notes written down, but it's kind of all over the place. So I think my goal today is I'll going to talk, qualify a little bit, tell you guys just a teeny bit of my story. I already told my story, and I talk about my story. When I share, I want to talk about what works for me in the program. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about gratitude and how important that has been in my recovery. But I'll start with my little qualifying. I'm a compulsive overeater, there's no question about it. I'm lifelong food addict as from a very, very young child. From I remember, I don't know, being a toddler and being obsessed with all the snacks and stuff, and sneaking food. Food was what I used for comfort in a very unhealthy environment, and it was what we were taught to use when things went bad and when things went good, right? So lifelong overeater, food addict, lots of bullying when I was a child, of course, because I was, as a child, I was obese. I remember getting kicked off a roller coaster in front of all my friends. I had all of those experiences, all the normal. A few years ago, I had bariatric surgery. And I mean, before that, of course, I tried all the programs and none of them worked. And then I had bariatric surgery and I lost a lot of weight. But I was still a compulsive eater. I wasn't a compulsive overeater, because I couldn't, but I was still a compulsive eater. I was still obsessed with food. My bariatric surgeon said what a success I was because I was able to, one of the things people struggle with after surgery is getting enough fluid. People dehydrate a lot, and not me, because I could get all the fluid in, because of course I could, because I loved to consume. They said that we could have these, this frozen thing because it counted towards your water. Instead of sitting down with one or two, I would sit down with six. And I realized that that was a problem. So I went to therapy. And I told my therapist, I'm like, I'm obsessed with food. What's going on here? No, I'm telling my doctor I'm obsessed with food. No one's ever suggesting a program or 12 step, anything like that. My therapist did EMDR with me to try and get me not so obsessed with food. I was convinced that I had to eat at night. If I don't have a full belly, I'm not gonna sleep. It's not that I was gaining weight, but I was just food took over. I would go out to, even though I was only eating small amounts, when I was at events, I couldn't enjoy my time with people because if we hadn't eaten yet, like when you go somewhere and like the food's kind of just sitting there and everyone's socializing and I'm thinking like, how are we socializing? The food's right there. Why are we not eating the food? The food's right there. And I just couldn't, I didn't realize what a problem it was. And then it affected all the parts of my life. I became such a people pleaser. I think because I was so unhappy in my body, I was highly, at work, I kept getting promotions because I would just keep taking on more and more and more. And I didn't realize that that was part of really my addiction. Last year, in March of 2024, I went out with my friends. We went to a little cat cafe. We pet all the cats. We did the things. We went out for lunch and then we went to a little thing and I got a box of things to bring home to eat over the week. And I ate them all on the drive home, hating myself the whole time, hating myself. I'm not going to eat it all. Eat. I'm not going to eat it all. Eat. And I really realized how much I experienced hating myself while eating and telling myself, nope, I'm not going to finish it. And I would always finish it. So 2 days later, I went to a meeting. Like I said, enough is enough. I'm very lucky that my best friend is in a different 12-step program, very successful. She went into 12-step and changed her life around. So I knew 12-step worked. So I went to a meeting, and in that meeting, they said go to however many different meetings and however many different days, and I did. So I did. I told myself I was going to do a 90-90. I'm very lucky that I have an in-person group once a week near me, and I went to that, and I was scared, but I went, and they said get a sponsor. So I did. So I asked someone to be my sponsor, and then my sponsor said, well, these are all the things you got to do to work the program, and I did. I'm very grateful that I never, from day one of stepping into program, questioned whether or not I needed the program. I knew I needed the program. This was, I'm a food addict. So my sponsor told me I needed to work the tools, and that was scary for me. So I'm going to talk about the tools, because I think the tools are such an important part of my recovery. Even when I don't want to use the tools, I got to use the tools. I'm going to talk about plan of eating last because it's probably one of the most important. But meetings, for almost my first year, I went to a meeting every single day. And now I still make sure that I go to a few meetings a week. I think meetings are really important. I think it's important to hear what other people have to say, and to witness people's strength and hope, and to witness people's struggles too, and that we're all here for each other. Nobody understands a compulsive overeater like a compulsive other people, right? Like my family doesn't get it, and I may have people in my family who also had weight problems, but they're not compulsive overeaters. Some people just kind of had some weight problems. My sister can have whatever in the house, and she doesn't think about it the way I think about it when it's in the house. So I think meetings are really important. Of course, literature, I have the books on my phone. So wherever I am, I can read the literature, writing. I love two-way prayers. Writing to my higher powers is really important. And I write every day, and I send a writing to my sponsor every single day. Let's say, of course, anonymity is important. Oh, let's talk about the good old telephone, right? Oh, the telephone, probably the one, when my sponsor was like, and you've got to write every day, great. You got to read every day, great. You got to tell me what you're going to eat, fine. And you got to call. And she started with, I had to call, I think, three people a day for my first few months. Three people. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I can text them. And she's like, no, you ain't texting, you're calling. So it started off with me trying to figure out when people wouldn't answer the phone, and I would call when they wouldn't answer the phone. Right? You do what you got to do in the beginning, but it still got me into the habit of calling. And then I learned about the 2x2 call, where you talk for 2 minutes, I talk for 2 minutes. I love that. I think it takes a nice pressure off of, well, I don't have half an hour to talk to someone. I think using the telephone is really important. Again, no one gets us like us. And just to hear another voice say, hey, I hope you have, I mean, there are people, I'm looking at your faces right now. I've talked to so many of you. And I hope you have a great abstinent day. And then we can go on with our day. But to have those people, I know that I've been at events where I have had a difficult moment, and I've been like, "Ooh, look at all that over there." I'd want to, and I could just walk away for a minute, call someone, and be like, "I see the things," and they say, "Don't eat the things," and I say, "Okay, I won't eat the things." And then, but it's so much nicer to hear other people who get it. I could call my friends and they could say, don't eat the things. But honestly, my friends are like, eh, you could have a little of the things, because they don't get it, right? You guys know I can't eat the things. So I think telephone is really important. And even if you call someone and say, I just for 1 minute needed to hear a friendly voice, I think it's a really important tool. Of course, sponsorship. With sponsorship, I'm very grateful that I adore my sponsor, and that she has given me the support to just be honest. And that's been huge, is that I can tell her anything, no judgment, even the icky stuff. When I worked my steps and I was admitting all the icky stuff, right? Step four, all the icky stuff, step five. And there's no judgment there. And I mean, I've told her things I haven't told my best friends. And the importance of honesty with my food, with my thoughts. I tell her when I'm in a store and I like glance at the things, and maybe that glance turns into too long of a look. And to just kind of be honest about that, because then we can look at what else is going on in my life. If maybe I'm struggling somewhere else, and that's why I'm looking at the things a little too long. I think being a sponsor is great because it reinforces the program for me. Because now I gotta like make sure I'm doing the things that I say to do, right? So I can't tell my sponsor to do, like I can't just stop making the phone calls and tell my sponsee that she's gotta make the phone calls. And service is a huge tool for those of you who have do service positions in any meetings. I think that's amazing. It's to give back to each other. I think anybody who has been coming to these meetings and who hasn't had an opportunity to do service, give it a try. Even it doesn't have to be for the whole quarter. Even if you just volunteer one, hey, just next week I want to try, being the timekeeper or whatever. Like, give it a try. It's really a great opportunity to give back to the program. And plan of eating. Plan of eating, I think, is it's probably the I mean, they're all the most important. I could talk about every tool, but plan of eating is what helps me not obsess about the food. I tell my every night, I tell my sponsor what I'm going to eat the next day. Because even though I'm not compulsively overeating and I'm not compulsively eating, I still am a bit of a food addict. I still think about, I could, if I don't do my plan of eating, I could still lay in bed thinking about how to manipulate my food plan, or, well, maybe I could do this, or maybe I could do this. When I'm going out with my friends, they know that I need to know where I'm going to eat ahead of time so that I can, I don't, otherwise, I can find myself looking at that menu too long. So it's really important to me that I commit what I'm going to eat, that I send what I'm going to eat, and that it just gets out of my head. And that if I make a change, that it's a change worth texting my sponsor, because I don't want to bother my sponsor all the time. And the rule for me is if I'm going to change what I'm going to eat, I got to tell her before I take the bite. So that helps me because I don't always want to bother her. I do think a plan of eating is my way out of like obsession. All right. What else do I want to talk about? I want to talk about, I think, gratitude. I was going to talk about negative thinking. I had some like things that I pulled out of literature. I don't think I'm going to do that because, today is a day where a lot of people may need time to share. It could be, I know some people may be having a little bit of a tough day or maybe feeling a little bit needing to connect today. So I'm not going to talk forever. I did write down a little thing about gratitude that I want to talk about. And I said this in the Sunday meeting. I think gratitude should be the last tool. I think it should be on our tool list. I think it's really important. I think gratitude.
5 minutes left,
Oh
please.
my God, look at me. I did. You were right, Judy. Okay, so I'm just going to read what I wrote down about gratitude and then we're going to go on. So, the importance about gratitude as a tool. For a long time, food was the lens through which I saw everything, my comfort, my reward, my escape. When I came into OA, I learned that recovery isn't just about changing what I eat, but about changing how I see my life. And gratitude has become one of the most powerful tools I have for doing that. Gratitude doesn't erase our struggles. It doesn't magically remove cravings, emotions, or challenges. What it does is shift my attention from what feels overwhelming to what is steady, supportive, and good. When I'm in the disease, my mind is loud with fear or shame. But when I practice gratitude, even for something very small, it quiets that noise. It reminds me that I'm not alone, that I have choices, and that my higher powers are working in my life even when I can't see it clearly. Sometimes my gratitude is big, like gratitude for abstinence, for this fellowship, or for clarity. And sometimes it's tiny, like gratitude for a quiet morning, a kind word, or simply the fact that I made one healthy decision today. In recovery, I've learned that small gratitude counts. It builds spiritual muscle. It reconnects me to willingness. It keeps me present. Gratitude also helps me separate who I am from the disease. Instead of focusing on what I think I'm failing at, gratitude lets me acknowledge what I'm doing right, even imperfectly. It helps me notice progress, not just problems. And every time I practice gratitude, I strengthen the part of me that wants recovery, not the part that wants to escape. Most importantly, gratitude is something I can choose even when I don't feel it. On the hard days, it becomes an act of faith. An admission that my higher powers are bigger than my compulsions and that recovery is possible, one moment at a time. When I practice gratitude regularly, my heart feels less heavy and my mind feels less chaotic. It doesn't fix everything, but it changes me so I can walk through life and recovery with more honesty, humility, and hope. Today, I'm grateful for this program, for each person here, and for the chance to keep growing. So I would like to challenge all of you, not challenge you, but to encourage all of you to practice gratitude today in your shares. I put my phone number as part of my name, and I'd also love for you to feel free to text me something you're grateful for today. You can pull out your phone right now and think of one thing you're grateful for. And it doesn't have to be big. It could be a tiny little gratitude. And text me something you're grateful for. And I would love to hear from all of you. Thanks for letting me share, everyone.